You're listening to the Cornerstone Family Worship Center podcast. Making disciples, building community, and growing together in faith and love.
Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And I'm going to try to work with this little gizmo here a little bit today. We'll see if Pastor Mike can get on board with any technology today at all. You know, technology is moving so rapid. As a matter of fact, there's prophecies in the Bible that say that in the last days, knowledge shall increase, meaning that exponentially it will just keep on growing so fast. You can buy a computer today, and within 6 months, that thing's obsolete almost. You know what I mean? Not necessarily obsolete, but they've gone beyond it to the next thing. So technology is great, and if we use it properly, it's good stuff. Amen? I happen to use hearing aids, and I get them from the VA hospital. And I got it 4 years ago, and they gave me a set of them. They're like $5,000 for the pair. And I've had them for these 4 years, and I lost one of them a couple of weeks back. And I called up to find out if there was any way that I could get another one replaced. And the lady says, "Oh, yeah." She says, "Mr. Panis," she says, "you got those 4 years ago. You're supposed to come in every 2 years and get updated." She said, "We've had three upgrades in the technology since your hearing aid." So she made an appointment for me to come in and get a brand new set of hearing aids. Isn't that awesome? But that's how fast technology is moving. And so we can either use our technology for good or for evil. I remember my grandmother saying this years ago. I don't know necessarily that I heard her say it, but I know the family did, my dad and his siblings, that when television came out, my grandmother was Yugoslavian. She spoke very little English, and she would sit in her little rocking chair in her little pouch belly there with garlic in her pocket. I mean, she was old school, you know. I mean, man, she would just sit there, and she'd rock, and she'd look at the TV, and she'd say, "The devil's box." She said, "The devil's box." And I would say she's probably 80% correct, even to this day. Because of the filth and the smut and everything else that we see on that. However, we also know that through television, many people are being touched by the Lord, coming to Christ. There are Christian programming that goes all over the globe right now. And people in obscure villages are able to hear the word of Jesus Christ and be set free and come to know the Lord. So technology can be good as well. Amen? That's not what I'm preaching on today. I'm not going there. I'm just saying about this little thing right here. You know, if I could just learn to use it properly, boy, wouldn't I be able to do great things. Okay. So the first scripture that we're going to look at today is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit today. We thank you for the anointing that is upon that word, and we thank you for the anointing that lives and abides in us as Christians. Be our teacher today. Stir our hearts up today, Lord God. Give us something new to chew on spiritually, and help us to grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. "Therefore, if any man," oh, that's a generic kind of a way of saying anyone or any human being, if anybody be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. How many of you have said somewhere along the line in your life or even lately, man, I just wish that I could go back and do it all over again. I would sure make different decisions. I sure would make different choices in my life. Anybody here like that? probably every one of us, you know. The bad part of that is that we can't really go back and undo what's already been done. But when that scripture there says that when a man or a woman comes to Christ, we are a new creation, brand new, and we get to go from that point forward. Now we get to make decisions and our choices based upon what God is showing us and what God is teaching us. Amen? And this is talking about someone who is in Christ. What does that mean to be in Christ? Does it mean to be a religious person? Does it mean to be a church-going person? Does it mean to be a good person that does good deeds? No, to be in Christ, there's only one way that a person can be in Christ, and that is to surrender our heart and our life to Him, throw our hands up in the air and say, I surrender, Lord. I'm not going to do this my way anymore. I'm coming your way, and I'm going to receive you as my Lord and as my King in my life. I want you in my life. I don't want all of the other stuff that destroys my life. I want you because you're a builder of life and you give to me abundant life. When a person comes to that place of repentance of our sins, very important word, repentance of our sins. People don't even like to hear that word today because it makes them uncomfortable. But repentance simply means this, about face. Turning your back to something turns your face to something else. When I want to turn my back on sin and turn my face towards God, that is exactly the time that I step in to Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new creature. Old things pass away. And behold, all things become new. Amen. So, like I said, you can't go back and redo those things, but you can get a very clean slate on that day that you come in to Christ. Amen. Jane, you made that step a few weeks ago. That's what this is all about. If anyone be in Christ, you step forward. You said, I want to say yes to Jesus. That is that step that we take. And so in turning our backs to that which is already behind us, and our sinful activities, our wrongdoings, the mistakes that we've made, we turn our back to all of that, and we turn our face towards Christ. And He brings to us new life at that point in time. So it says, old things are passed away. All things become new. You start thinking differently when you are in Christ. You don't think the same way that you used to, because the scripture says that in the end of time, men will call evil good and good evil. So the things that we used to like to do and enjoy doing, and we thought they were quote-unquote fun or pleasurable, they really often got us into trouble, didn't they? I know I can speak for that for my own life. The things that I used to think were just so pleasurable and so much fun, I look back on that now and I say, thank God that I'm not there anymore. Thank God that I don't do that anymore. Thank God that there's been a change in my mind and in my life and in the way I think about things. That's a new creature. That's a new creation. I think a lot of times there are, for a better word, I guess, faux conversion. Conversions that really aren't real, okay? A real conversion is to turn away from that past life and turn unto a new life in Christ. And so just to go and attend church does not make you a Christian. Somebody said it years ago, being in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage would make you a car, right? So there has to be a connection that happens in our heart. We come to that place of surrendering to the Lord. So this is the person who is in Christ, and he becomes a new creature. You never in your life, probably, in your BC days, before Christ, before you came into Christ, as I just explained a minute ago, there were... things that you did that you would never see yourself not doing. Okay? In other words, that was the mode of life that you were living in, and you thought, this is the way life is going to be going forward, and I'll never change. I like what I'm doing, this and that. But then you found out that it wasn't all that it was cracked up to be, and you had a change. So when this says old things are passed away and all things become new, I would just say to you, who in this place today, in your BC days, ever would have thought that you would be in a church like we are today, raising your hands up unashamedly before God and saying, God, I just want to love you and I want to worship you and I want to be close to you and I want to know you and I want to get to know you better. And you know, and I never saw myself doing that ever before Christ. But now that we are in Christ, we enjoy doing that. And we can't even see ourselves doing what we used to do. Some of you, I'm not picking on anybody here this morning because somebody might still be smoking here in your life. I understand that. And we all struggle with things that we're going to overcome. We're going to be delivered as God would help us. But some people you'd look at and you'd see this woman and you'd say, I can't even imagine her with a cigarette in her hand. Isn't that true? You know, and you can't imagine yourself with that, you know. And I remember my mom, when she gave her life to the Lord, she was a 2.5-pack smoker per day. And after she got saved, she carried around a pack of cigarettes, an open pack of cigarettes in her purse for several days before she realized she hadn't lit one up. That's what we're talking about, conversion. I mean, that all of a sudden, man, things are new. You don't do the things you used to do, and you're doing things that you never thought you would ever do. Amen. I certainly never thought that I'd be a preacher. As a matter of fact, most people who knew me in my BC days never thought I would be a preacher. I had a fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Blyler, who was a very good friend of someone who attended this church years ago. She's now passed on and gone to be with the Lord. But they were kindergarten friends, and they grew up together. They were just like this, and they always stayed in contact with each other. And when she told my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Blyler, that she was attending a church where Mike Panich was pastoring, she goes, no. I mean, she flat out could not believe that. You know, she said, this is fifth grade, my fifth grade teacher. I won't tell you what my junior high teachers and high school teachers said. But, we change when Christ comes into our life. We're different. We're new creatures, creation. I never saw myself preaching. I never thought that I would be doing what I'm doing here this morning. And if somebody would have mentioned that to me, I would have said, no way. But to be made new and to be given a clean slate. I thank God for the young people who have given their lives to Jesus at a young age. This is a young lady, my daughter-in-law here, and my son. Young people who gave their lives to Christ at a fairly young age. And didn't have to go through a lot of the stuff that some of these other folks in this congregation right now have had to go through. Thank God for that. But all of us need to come to a place where we realize that we have sinned and we've broken God's laws and we need to get that fixed. And the only fix for that is Jesus himself. Amen. And So I like the fact that there are young people who have not had to go the same road that I took or that some of you have taken before they woke up and found Christ. Amen. And sometimes people think, you know, I've heard young people years ago, because I ministered to a lot of young people at the time that I became a Christian, and they would say, well, I don't have a testimony like you. Look at him and I'd say, thank God. Thank you don't need a testimony like me. What a testimony you are to not have gone through all of that stuff before you found Jesus. Amen. Nevertheless, we all need to become new creatures, even those who may not have been in gross sin all of their lives or many of their years of their life. We've all broken God's law. And so we all need the one and only fix for that, and that is Christ. So it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. That's a question that people should always ask themselves in this world. Am I in Christ? Am I in Christ? And if I am in Christ, then these old things that I used to think were so great, really not all that good for my life. You know, a lot of times when we tell people, come to Jesus and your life will just be so much better. That's a fact. That's a fact. But we shouldn't say it in such a way, come to Jesus and you'll never have any problems anymore. Come to Jesus and you'll be rich. Come to Jesus and you'll always be happy. Come to Jesus. You know what I mean? That's just not the way it is. But come to Jesus and he'll never forsake you. Come to Jesus and he'll stick with you through everything you ever go through in life. Come to Jesus and you will have a future with him in heaven one day. Amen. And so if you come to Christ, then we have that to look forward to. And when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I was excited and I wanted to tell other people about him. Can you relate? That's what happens. If you hit the lottery, I mean, some people might say if they hit the lottery today, they ain't telling anybody. You know what I mean? I'm going to keep it a secret. But I would bet that 99 out of 100 people, if they hit that lottery, they're going to tell somebody. They're going to tell somebody. I would. I've never bought a lottery ticket. People have bought them for me. They said, here, Pastor Mike, I hope this comes in. I said, okay, I hope it does too. But When I got saved, I picked up the phone, and some of you know that I used to deal in drugs. And I picked up the phone, and I went down my little list of my clientele, telling them that I won't be dealing drugs anymore. I've given my life to Christ. And you need Jesus in your life, too. Click. 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 And one of my very best friends, Bucky, some of you know him, he did the old click thing. He said, nah, he said, I'm going down to Florida, going to go deal drugs down there. I don't need this Jesus thing. You're a Jesus freak. That's what he called me. And he hung up. And I found this out. It's not just an easy road when you come and give your life to Jesus, because when all of your friends forsake you, people that you've known and grown up with, people that you've chummed around with, they just all of a sudden they turn their back on you and they walk away from you. That hurts. You feel that. Your own relatives may do the very same thing when you give your life to Christ. But I know that if there's anybody here in this room today who is in Christ, truly in Christ today, I believe that you would agree with me that the very best friend that a person could ever have is Jesus himself. And if everybody and everything and everything in this world just forsakes you, but you have Christ, you're doing okay. You're doing better than okay. Amen. There's not another person in the world, a human being, that I love more than her, more than this woman right here. Nobody. And then my children. But Christ is the one friend that I absolutely know will never, ever leave me. He'll never forsake me. He will never let me down. He will always be there for me. Always. And so you could say, if you really know that in your heart, that if everybody in the world forsook you, Jesus, therefore, you would give up, if need be, every friend. If they want to turn their back on you, that's their business. but you've gained the best friend that a person can ever have. Amen. And that's the truth. I'm speaking the truth to you this morning. Amen. So we can't go back and undo the things that we have done, but when Christ comes into our life, he is ready, willing, and able to blot out all of our sins, all of our past. You know, if there's relationship problems with somebody, that may still go on, even though you've given your life to Jesus. That might not be able to be healed and fixed in this life. Who knows? But your personal sins, things that you've done to other people, and things that you've done to offend God, you can ask him for forgiveness. He will blot out your iniquities and forgive you and give you this clean slate that we're talking about right here. Amen. So you can't go back and undo what you've already done, but you can get a clean slate today. And that even goes for those of us who are in Christ, who still find ourselves sometimes not measuring up to what we know we should be doing as Christians. We can relate to that as well, I think, in this group. Amen? So I want us to go to the second scripture that I jotted down this morning. And I'm hoping that these will be helpful to you, and I'm hoping that I received those from the Lord today and that he was putting the skids on that other message saying, this is what I want you to talk about today. So, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, after the Spirit. Amen. So, now once I've given my life to Jesus, and once I am in Christ, and once I have a new life and a new purpose for living, and I'm following after that with all of my heart, and I still miss the mark, and I still do something that I know is displeasing to the Lord. And what do I do there? Well, we should always repent of anything that we do that we know is an offense to God or somebody else. We ought to repent. And that's the first order of business. But his grace didn't stop covering your life at that moment. That's the good thing. That's what this is saying here. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who follow not after the flesh any longer. And the flesh is that those lustful things, those lustful desires that are innate within all men that are opposed to the law of God. That's the lust of the flesh. And the Bible's clear on this. It says even the pleasures, even sin is pleasurable for a season. You can go out there and have fun living in sin. Make you happy for a little while. The Bible says that. It's not, you know, God is not opposed to speaking the truth about sinful pleasures. They can give you pleasure for a little while. But eventually, they bring ruin and destruction in your life. So there's no condemnation to you. Once you are in Christ, even if you fail, even if you fall short, even if you stumble, even if you do something that you know is opposed to God and to his word, he will pick you up by his mercy and by his grace. He'll set you on that straight and narrow street again, brush you off, and say, there you go. Go at it again. Day after day after day after day. And we all fall short. We all fall short. I was golfing last week in a preacher's golf tournament. Harry Will Funeral Home puts this on annually for all the clergy in the area. It's a time for the clergy to come together, have a little fellowship, a little lunch together, and have a little relaxing day playing golf. And one of the ministers said something not It wasn't as bad as what we would call, what we would say, GD. But he did use the Lord's name in vain in a way that just, you know, you shouldn't do it. And immediately, as soon as he said, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. So he knew that that's not something we should do as Christians. And it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't as bad as saying GD. It was just, you know, saying Jesus' name or something, whatever. But it was in a way that it wasn't worshipful and it wasn't edifying or uplifting. But immediately, he said, forgive me, Lord. So that's the way that we all realize that we need to be. We'll fall short. Even hitting a bad shot in a golf course and saying Jesus' name in a way that's not uplifting, we could do that. We can fall short. We can even maybe tell a little story that we shouldn't be saying, because we don't want to be embarrassed to really come forward and take responsibility for something. As human beings, we can be prone to that temptation. And if we fall to that temptation, we need to make it right and say, Lord, forgive me for that. But his grace never stops in all of that. His grace doesn't just stop because you did that one little thing. I remember Sue Grinder's dad years ago. Some of you I've told this story to. But he smacked his thumb with a hammer one day, and it was shortly after he had become a Christian. He was working out in his wood shop, and he smacked his thumb with a hammer, and he said, GD. And he came to the men's Bible study that night, and his face was just dragging. He was just coming in all bummed out. I said, hey, Brother Bob, how you doing? He goes, I don't even know if I'm saved. You know, I said, really? I said, what happened to you? What do you mean? He says, I was working out in the shop, I hit my thumb with a hammer, and I immediately cursed and used God's name in vain. He said, I just feel terrible. I said, oh, I said, nothing to worry about. He about fell down. You know, what do you mean, nothing to worry about? You know? Nothing to worry about. He says, what do you mean? I said, let me ask you a question. I says, have you ever hit your thumb with a hammer before you became a Christian? He said, yeah, many times. I said, did you curse and use God's name in vain? He says, oh, yeah, all the time. I said, did you feel bad about it? He said, no. Yes, I didn't. I said, now you hit your thumb with a hammer, you use God's name in vain, and you feel terrible about it? I said, doesn't that say that there's something new that happened in your life? Doesn't that say that there's something inside of you now that is different than what it was before? I said, Brother Bob, I said, that's just an indicator. Are saved. That's just a witness in your heart that you are saved. Now, don't go around using God's name just to prove that you are saved. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when we fall short, doesn't mean that God's grace has left us or that we are not saved. Amen. So, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ who walk not after the flesh. We don't follow after those lustful desires anymore. We follow after Christ, His Holy Spirit. We follow after holiness. We follow after pureness in our lives. That's what we want. That's what we desire. We may fall 100 times in a day, but our aim is to do the right thing. Amen. And so there's no condemnation to you today if you are in Christ. If you're not in Christ, got to do is take that step that I mentioned earlier, is to walk into Christ through repentance and faith. Amen. Now, I want to close with a classic scripture. I call it classic because most people know this verse of scripture. They may have learned it in Sunday school somewhere along the line, or they may have seen it at a sporting event behind a backstop. John 3:16. Amen? You ever seen that one? I don't know how many people in that stadium who don't know what that means go home and look that up, but I hope that some do. Amen. John 3:16 and then verse 17 as well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Eternal life. The devil and the evil one of this world doesn't want to give you life. He wants to take life away from you. He wants to snuff out any goodness that God would put in you. He wants to take you down a road and a pathway that leads away from God instead of toward God. And anything that he can do to mess your life up that way, that's what he has come to do. That's what he's here doing right now. Trying to get our minds off of Jesus. Trying to get our minds off of the Word of God. Trying to get us distracted from this new life that Christ has given unto us. Jesus said, that's what the thief does. He comes to steal. He comes to murder. He comes to destroy. But I've come to give you life and life more abundant, or life to the full. I don't know how many people in the world would really, if they thought about that, refuse that. Life to the full. But some people have a misconception of what life to the full is, I guess. And that's why they deny Christ. But God so loved the world that he gave us his Son. That if we would just believe in him and trust in him, we could be saved. Now the Bible says that there is a heaven and that there is a hell. And that one day we will stand before Almighty God and we will give an account of this life. And he won't be sitting there tallying up all of our sins that we did or all of our good works that we did. What he will do on that day is he will say, what did you do with my Son who I sent into the world to redeem you from your sins? Oh, was that true? Oh, was that for real? Oh, I didn't believe that. Oh, I just thought that was fairy tales. Oh, I just shrugged that off. I didn't really believe the people who were telling me that. So have you accepted my Son or have you rejected my Son? I guess I rejected your Son. The only salvation that could have got you into heaven's door. And then he will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never. What a sad thought to even think that that could be a possibility of someone's life. The flip side of that coin is when he says, so what did you do with my Son who I sent into the world to save mankind from their sins? Oh, I gladly received him. I received the good news. I received the truth of who Jesus was. Why he came. And he will say, enter in to the joy of the Lord, faithful servant. Amen. I don't know if you put that to the people in the world today, which would you rather have? I don't know. Anybody in the world or anybody in their right mind? I guess that's the case. Anybody in their right mind who would refuse that? Because before we come to Christ, we're not in our right mind. I'm not saying everybody out there is mentally ill or something like that. I'm saying our right mind is the way God created us, and the way God created us was to be a worshiper of him first and foremost, and that we would not have any other gods before him. That he would be our God. That's why he created us. And so anything short of that would be wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. So, if we give our lives to Jesus, we have the promise of eternal life with him in heaven. Now, I'm ready. I am ready for heaven. And more every day, I feel more and more ready. Oh, Lord. You know, the Christians used to say, Maranatha. When they would greet each other, the Lord cometh. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. They were saying that 2,000 years ago. The Lord is coming. How much more should we encourage each other today and say, hey, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. When we look around and we see the things going on in the world, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. So a lot of times people think that God just wants to ruin all of our fun. So we got this little thing inside of us that says sin is pleasurable, and we like to do our little sinful things, And now someone comes on the scene and tells us that we need Jesus in our life. We need to repent of these things and give our lives to Christ. And what do we think immediately? Hey, he just wants to ruin all my fun. And he wants to condemn me to hell. And that's not what God wants to do. The next verse, John 3:17, says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Amen. Hey, that's good news. That's called the good news. John 3:16 could be said, could be a verse that where we'd say, that's the good news right there. Christ came to save us from our sins. And he did not come to condemn us to hell. That's a choice that people in their wrong mind would make. You see, we made all those wrong choices before Christ, but now we're in Christ. We're not thinking in those terms any longer. But those things would have led us to a devil's hell. Amen. And now we're new creatures, new creations in Jesus Christ, and we've been made new. Man, I am so glad of that. I'm glad that Mrs. Blyler said, "Oh, I knew him when he was, but I ain't anymore." I knew him when he did this. Oh, but I'm not that anymore. You know, my mother, the first time she heard one of my testimonies when I was speaking for the first time, you know, 45 years ago after I got saved. And I was talking to a bunch of other young hippies, and I was trying to convey to them that we don't need these things that we're doing right now. We need to give our lives to Christ. And so I said, I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and I did that. And that's not where true satisfaction comes. It comes only in Christ. Well, after the service, my mom came up to me in tears. "I can't believe you did all of those things. And right in my house." And I said, "Mom, don't worry about that." I said, "That guy is dead. Because we die to that person and we come alive to the new person that Christ makes us." Amen. Awesome. Those are the three scriptures that I believe the Lord laid on my heart this morning as I was reshuffling and thinking, okay, I don't have my notes for my message that I prepared, so what do you want me to do, Lord? Those are the three scriptures that popped into my mind to share with you today. So I have done that. So now will you all stand?